Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is there anyone in the conversation for best athlete in town with Justin Verlander? I don't even know who can even enter the discussion. Verlander right now, 6-1. With a 1.22 ERA and a 0.72 whip. He's first in the league in all three. And by the league, I don't mean American League. I mean all of baseball. He's tied for the most wins with six. Nobody really anticipated this. And while the Astros deserve credit, they got kind of lucky. If Justin Verlander hit the market now, knowing what people know and knowing right. What people have seen, he might have priced himself out of Houston. But the Astros did make the move. A lot of that had to do with letting Carlos Correa go, because the difference between Verlander's salary and Correa's salary prevented them from paying the luxury tax. But even the biggest optimist couldn't have forecasted Justin Verlander doing what he's doing right now. And there's no one even in the conversation. And this is a hell of a ball club. There's no one even in the conversation when it comes to top athlete in town. Justin Verlander is that guy. It's not even close. He's pitching better right now than he ever has. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about a guy, at least for as an Astro, and we're talking about a guy who won a Cy Young Award in 2019.
Here. Yes, and he's better than he was before. I don't think it's a question. It's a stunning story when you really think about it. I didn't think he would stink. You know, but I had no expectation for him to be this dominant. He's changed, you know, kind of the way he pitches, and that's what the great ones have done. And he's clearly one of the great ones. And he's just as effective in the way he pitches now. His fastball, last I looked, it's been a couple of days. You know, his strikeout rate isn't necessarily anything close to what it's been, but he's getting guys out. He's still getting strikeouts. I meant with the fastball. He's still getting guys out with his curveball, and it's just a stunning thing. I mean, he's overwhelming batters at this age.
He's overwhelming. I mean, he's pitching at an elite level, and there's not even anyone. You can't even attempt to put anyone in the same conversation with Justin Verlander. Astros finish off that quote. Tough stretch, 33 games in 34 days. They finished 23-10. They're 29-16 on the season. The Angels are right there, and they got a really soft 18-game stretch coming up. So the Astros with the chance to, I don't want to say separate themselves, but continue to win before things get a little bit tougher in mid-June. Half the teams in the league, by the way, below 500. Astros are kind of roughed up on those guys, and there's opportunity. They don't play a winning ball club until June 17th. So we're going to have about a three-week stretch where they're playing teams, some of the worst teams in the league, from Seattle six times to Kansas City to Oakland, Miami, and Texas. And then it gets a little bit more difficult with Chicago, both New York squads, and the Angels. So they got to continue winning because the Angels are right there. Angels are just two games back. Our rest of the AL West kind of crumbling, but Justin Verlander, by far the best pitcher in baseball right now, arguably, and you can't argue that he's the best athlete in town.
You can't, and there are a lot of other things that are just sort of complementing that. The relief staff, again last night, being able to get the job done, which has been, you know, one of the questions coming into the season. Alex Bregman coming along. Jeremy Peña. The farm system in general for the Astros hasn't had a lot of misses, and that's been key. Just the organizational approach to putting a team together that, that has those complementary pieces. You know, obviously Jeremy Peña, you know, coming up, but others as well, including relief pitchers and others. I think they've got a shot. And you and I have both said
a shot to.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I you and I have both said, they're great. It's impressive. What a start. I don't know if they're going to be a World Series team.
It
yet.
Still doesn't feel like they have a shot to win a World Series to me. And maybe that's me being spoiled. Maybe that's my expectations. But I mean, even when they were one of the best offenses in baseball, and right now they're far from that. The bats tend to disappear.
2-1 last night. I mean, come on.
They disappear when it matters most, and it's just hard for me to imagine that not happening with what we've seen with the bats. Now, that doesn't – I mean, look, the expectations for them are still higher than any other team in town, but even with all this going on, I don't – it's a World Series or bust type of thing for me. It doesn't mean that I don't enjoy it. But I just find myself looking at this, and it's as good as they're doing and as great as Verlander is, I still enjoy being able to go home and take on the whoopee, as I call the Astros. But I also find myself naturally looking ahead 4 months, 5 months from now, and just not being able to rely on these bats, because the bats have been a big part of why we're just talking about one World Series during this stretch instead of two. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you.
And that said, though, I think they can make a lot of headway. You mentioned that, you know, the Angels are right there with them, but they've got a lot of good things working in their favor even after winning 33 out of 34 games stretch. You know, after going, was 23-10 in that 33 out of 34 stretch.
What do you mean headway?
Here's how. They've only played 20 home games. They've played 35 road games. That's huge, man. I mean, that's you go on this stretch, you're leading the division, and you're still 15 games behind home versus road. That's really, really big. And I think that's going to be a big factor down the stretch, whether it's they catch up, you know, during the softer part or it helps them later. They still have to make up those games, and that's big.
The other side of this, though, and I want to, it's kind of, it's an interesting, like, we really haven't experienced like a over half decade World Series or bust type of run. Like, I don't even consider the Angels a threat, and that sounds nuts. It sounds crazy that I say, you know, I just don't feel like this is a World Series squad. And then I find myself saying, you know, a team that's been playing good baseball that's only two games behind you, yeah, I don't consider a threat. It's really, really strange, because maybe I should be open to both things. Maybe I should consider the Angels a threat, and maybe I should be more open-minded given the fact that they do have the best pitcher in baseball, and given the fact that they do have the body of work, and given the fact that they do have the front office, and given the fact that they do have the potential to add arms that are already in the clubhouse, and arms and maybe bats that are maybe on other teams. Maybe I should be more open to that, but I just find myself chalking them down as AL West champs and then assuming that it's not going to be enough for them to win the World Series. Maybe it's just I'm a creature of habit, but that's just where I find myself. 713-572-4610. Jeff Bagwell has been on the broadcast the last couple of days. It's always interesting when Jeff Bagwell's there, very opinionated, very insightful, very entertaining when he's with Todd Kallas. He knows how to kind of make Todd Kallas feel a little bit awkward, and you kind of feel it through the TV screen in an entertaining way, not like, this is a cringeworthy way thing. But he knows how to make Kallas feel awkward, and he really made me smile when Bagwell threw this take out there about a book, a movie that many people are fond of, Moneyball. This was Jeff Bagwell after the Astros put out a Twitter poll as to what the best baseball movie of current time was. I love you, Jeff Bagwell.
Yes.
Well, you want me to comment on that?
You can. You can just.
I just
sit
think
there.
Moneyball is a farce.
Okay. You think the whole concept's a farce? The movie was.
No, I think even the concept. The concept. They had the three best pitchers in baseball. You could have sticked anybody out there. My son's 15-year-old team, they could have been out there with those three pitchers. And they get all this hype. I don't know.
Wow.
That's true.
You're debunking the whole Oakland A's.
Yes.
Moneyball process.
The same. The Braves won for 15 years with Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavine.
Yeah.
And they won 15 years in a row. Why don't they call them the Moneyball team? Huh? What's the difference? I asked you to go back to 2000 and look at their records and look at the pitchers they had. I think Miguel Tejada was playing shortstop, too.
So the fact they brought up guys that walked a lot, Scott Hatterberg.
Right, I understand that. I mean, okay, I like the concept of getting on base. Don't get me wrong. But to make a movie out of it and to get to all this credit that they're so smart.
He's right. And I've said this, and I've had this argument a lot of times. Like, it is kind of amusing. And you got to go to 2001 to 2003. People started looking at 2000. 2001, 2003, they had three of the best pitchers in baseball. And in 2001, when they went over 100 games, they had Jason Giambi, who hit 38 homers. They had Miguel Tejada, who hit 31. They had Eric Chavez, who hit 32. And they also had Johnny Damon. And I'm watching a movie where I'm basically being convinced that because they brought Scott Hatterberg, and that happened the next year after Giambi left, but because Scott Hatterberg was walking, I'm supposed to ignore the fact that Miguel Tejada and Eric Chavez in 2002 each had 34 home runs, and Jermaine Dye had 24, and they had three of the best pitchers in baseball. I've always said this, too. I love Jeff Bagwell for saying this. I think Moneyball is over-romanticized. I think it's that there's some value in it, but I agree with Jeff Bagwell. I've said this many times.
I think, you know, obviously you got to give, first of all, Jeff Bagwell.
He's hilarious.
He just has a knack, a way of like cutting through all the BS and just say, well, let me tell you what's going on here. It's endearing. It's what makes him my favorite Astro of all time, even including just in, I'm talking about just in personality and stuff and everything all inclusive, including these players who obviously I love a lot of these guys. But he's just good at that. And I do think, though, that you have to give him credit for the concept of what they were doing, because the concept is still being used. The Astros use a lot of that. But it is. He's right. It took a lot of liberties. Billy Beane didn't draft those three pitchers. Remember the scene where the scouting director and Billy Beane are screaming at each other and all that stuff? That's the dude that drafted them. That's the dude that drafted, I don't know if it was
Zito, Mulder, Tim Hudson.
And Tim Hudson.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right about that.
Yeah. And I mean, Miguel Tejada was pretty damn good. He's one of the best players in the league.
And Eric Chavez.
At that time. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. KJ, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Morning, fellas. Got two quick takes for you. Well, first is a comment. The second one is a question. I'm not necessarily down on Astros right now at this point simply because I'm looking at the overall lineup. The pitching to me has been a pleasant surprise. I wasn't necessarily surprised with Verlander having seen what he did in that exhibition he did right after the Astros World Series.
Now, aren't surprised that he's tied for the lead in every major pitching category right now?
Well, that's what I was about to say. I mean, I'm surprised that he's doing it in such a dominant fashion, but I was content with him having like a 3.5 ERA.
Me too.
And give us 14, 15 wins. So he's exceeded my expectations.
Me too.
But I'm not necessarily concerned overall because I think the bats at some point will heat up. But this is my take. At what point, and the reason why I ask this question is because this is going to be, I think, his seventh season in the league. And every season he's missed significant time. One year in particular, he missed the entire season. At what point do we start entertaining conversations about trading Lance McCullers? He's a phenomenal pitcher, but he's not defendable. He wasn't available in the World Series. And, again, this is his seventh season with the Astros, and he has yet to complete an entire season with us. So I'm going to get you guys' take on that, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't know that that's even, like, in the discussion. And quite honestly, they owe it to him and they owe it to themselves to see how he does come back. I do wonder, though, and I think Keith Law threw this out. Like, at some point, do we start thinking about Lance McCullers as potentially a reliever? Now, that's a high-paid reliever. But at some point, do you question, like, does he need to transition and try to extend his career? I do wonder if we get to that point, but no, they're not going to trade Lance at this point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.